Good evening. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. I especially want to thank the elders for asking me to come over and preach. It's a little bit of deja vu. We were over here about a year ago this weekend, actually, and it's good to be back with you. It's been a good year for Courtney and I, and we hope and pray it's been a good year for all of you. We always enjoy coming back and seeing everyone, and this church holds a real special place in our hearts, and we love you all, and just really enjoy coming back. Tonight I want to discuss the thorn in the flesh that Paul mentions to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would, let's go ahead and turn over 2 Corinthians 12. We'll read verses 1 through 12. And when you get there, you may want to go ahead and put your placeholder there. We'll be coming back a lot. It's going to be the main focal point of our lesson. So 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12. It says, "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was called up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have been a fool. You forced me to it, for I ought to have been commended by you. For I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you, with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works.'" The first question I'd like to present to you tonight is, what is the thorn? Specifically, what is Paul's thorn? Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a study when you go to look for what Paul's thorn was, but you normally start in 2 Corinthians 12:7, where he mentions it. Then you go all across the New Testament. You may go to Acts 9 and say, well, he was struck blind. Could it be that his eyes were an issue to him? You may go to 1 Timothy 5. There he says, "Drink only water, but take a little wine for your stomach." Maybe he had a stomach issue. You go to 2 Corinthians 11. You see where he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was even stoned. Was there a lasting injury from that? And then you'll wind up at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Where it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited," and you'll wonder what his thorn was. We really don't know exactly what his thorn was. And I think that was done for a reason. I think he let us not know what his thorn was to give us the opportunity to relate to him. If he had told us, "Well, my thorn was related to my eyes," only people that have an issue with eyes will be able to say, "Well, I understand that. I can relate to that." If it had said, "I have stomach issues," only people with stomach issues would have related to him. But with it this way, we can all relate to him. Let's drop down and read verses 9 and 10 again. It says there, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." He tells us what his thorn was. It was weaknesses. It was insults, hardships, persecutions. It was calamities. Now I want to ask you, what does this mean for us? What does Paul mean by weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities? I think most of us assume Paul's thorn was a physical ailment to him. He said it was in the flesh. But I also think this thorn can apply to us in many different ways. It could be an actual thorn in the flesh. It could be a spiritual nature. So tonight, as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about yourself. What is your thorn? How does this lesson apply to you? When we mention the thorn in the flesh, we always think about Paul. And anytime we ask a question about it, I'm real bad to put Paul's name in there. I'll say, "Well, why did this happen to Paul?" Well, it should be, "Why did this happen to me?" Because we all have thorns as well. Could be, you have gifts of past sins. I know I've done a lot of things in my past. God may have forgiven me, but I may not forgive myself. It may be a weight upon you. It could be that you're currently struggling with a sin. You may have a sin that's just continuing in your life. You try to overcome it, but it may just continue to plague you. It could be as simple as a social issue. Are you shy? Are you awkward when you go talk to someone? Do you have an anger problem? Or do you actually have a physical weakness? Do you have a disability that keeps you from doing the things that you'd like to do? Like I said, as we go through tonight, let's look at this talking about not only Paul, but ourselves as well. First question I want to ask after that is, why do we have thorns in our lives? What's the purpose of this? I know anytime that I have an issue in my life, I say, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did God allow this to happen to me? Would God really allow this to happen to someone? Is God testing me? Is He a mean God? All questions that are presented when things don't go our way. Let's look at why Paul had a thorn in his life. Paul, he was a well-educated man. He studied the feet of Gamaliel. A miracle had been performed to him, just as we mentioned in Acts 9. He was blinded, but he gained his sight back. He spread the gospel near and far. I don't think any of us would argue that he's one of the most instrumental people in the New Testament. He's all over it spreading the word. He had a lot to be proud of. He says when in the first half of this chapter, he talks a lot about boasting. He says it's not profitable for him to boast. Even 2 Corinthians 12:7, the verse that I keep going back to, says to keep him from becoming conceited because of his surpassing greatness. He had a problem with being a little proud. So God gave him this thorn, I believe, to lower him, put him on the level that we're all on. But he became content in this weakness. And through that, he became stronger in Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9 that we've already read. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. So why do we have thorns in our lives? Is it because we need to be a little more humble? Are we a little too proud? Because sometimes as Christians, we're a little quick to look down on others. We'll say, well, we've got it figured out. Maybe we need to get a little humility in our lives. Because our faith is not what it needs to be. We need to lean on the Lord a little bit more, have a little more faith in Him to bring us through whatever is our thorn in our life. Maybe we're just not that strong. So we need to build our strength up a little bit. And we need to go to God in prayer more often. Could be a source of encouragement. I know that seems weird, and Courtney, when I was doing the lessons, I was ran this back, you're going to explain that one a little bit. I think this can be a source of encouragement to others. If you think about someone that you know may have something they struggle with daily. They may have an issue that plagues them. It may be a true disability. If they keep the right attitude, if they continue to push through, if they never give up, it's an encouragement to others. We say, hey, they're going through a lot more than I am. I really don't have a lot to be upset about, and they can encourage us to be better and become stronger Christians as well. I think back to Job as well. Job obviously was tested a little bit, and I hope none of us are ever tested the way he was. But in Job 2:10, he said here, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Job had it figured out. You know, we get a lot from God, and we're quick to be upset when everything's not good that we get from God. Sometimes we overlook all the blessings we have in our life when really we have nothing to be upset with God about. Or all the stuff that's in our life, just as we read in James, a lot of it's because we put it there. We choose for it to be there. That was not the right button. All right. So how should we react to these thorns in our life? I know when something happens in my life, I'm real quick to internalize it. I want to bottle it all up inside. I don't want to share with anybody what's going on, especially if I've done something wrong. I don't want to tell anybody. Maybe you're opposite. Maybe you want to publicly air everything out. Maybe you're the person on Facebook that you're always throwing it out there. You know, we all know those people. I think what we need to do more often, though, is pray. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, he went before the Lord on 3 separate occasions, asking if this thorn will be removed from him. How often do we do the first two, but we miss the third? We always want to take care of it ourselves. We're real independent, but we don't lean on God to take care of it near enough. If you will, turn over with me to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And my alternative, I realize I'm going a little fast, and I told Courtney I was a little nervous, and she said, well, just get up there, so I just got to stay and sit down. So, obviously that's what I'm doing. I'm just saying what I got to say, and then I'm going to sit down with y'all. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says we need to pray. We need to go before the Lord in prayer. What does he say the results of these prayers are? Well, here in Philippians 4, where he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In our text from 2 Corinthians 12, now, it's a little hard to say this, but Paul said he went 4 and 3 times, and the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. That wasn't, yeah, I'll take your thorn away. I'll take care of that for you. A lot of times when we go before God in prayer, we expect the answer that we want. We say, take this thorn out of my life. I have this issue. If you'll do this for me, I'll be a lot better. Well, that's not really the way it should be, because he said his grace is sufficient for us. If you think about that answer, what does it mean that his grace is sufficient for us? Well, what does grace give us? With grace, we have forgiveness. Through forgiveness, hopefully we'll have a home in heaven one day. I don't really think that's a bad answer when he says, my grace is sufficient for you. You may continue to have the thorn in your life, but you have the grace to get you through. You have the grace to overcome, and you have the grace to get you to where you need to be as a Christian. So, a final question, Matt, how can we use our thorns? Now, we all look at these thorns and we say, well, that's bad. Paul's thorn, we don't really know what it was, but we look at it in a negative connotation. But I think there's ways we can use these thorns in a positive light. Just as I said before, the encouragement. If you know someone's going through a hard time, it encourages when they continue to push forward, so you can be that same encouragement to someone else. Or the advancement of the gospel. I think it's safe to say, Paul used his thorn in a way to advance the gospel. Everything he seemed to do was for the advancement of the gospel. So we use our thorns the same way. If you have a thorn that says, you know, you've done something bad, you have the guilt of a past sin, you use that to go to others and say, I've been in your shoes before. I know where you're at. But I have the grace of the Lord, and I got that through obeying the gospel. Is that what we do? Or do we bottle it up, not tell anybody about it? I'm not standing here telling you that we need to go out and say, well, here's all the bad things about us. Let's start with that. But there's times where it's okay to open up and say, I've got some bad in my life. I'm not a perfect human being. As Christians, we're not perfect. We're not asked to be perfect. We can use our thorns in ways that we can help others. In the songbook in front of you, I'm going to turn over to number 620. I'm definitely not going to leave. I'm just going to read the words. And 620 says, room in God's kingdom. There is room in God's kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Just a small kindly deed that may cheer another is the work God has planned for you. Just a cup of cold water in His name given may the hope in some heart renew. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven, to the work God has planned for you. There's a place in the service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. Can't you say to Him now, I will leave the shirkers, and the work Thou hast planned, I'll do. And of course, there's room in the kingdom, there's place, there's room. There's room for you no matter what your thorn is. There's room, there's work we can do. Use your thorn in a way that will advance the gospel. Use it in a way that will be a positive light to others, not a negative light. She told me to get here and say what I had to say. She told me to sit down. Guess it's time for me to sit down. Before I sit down, though, I think there's a few other questions. What is your thorn? Is your thorn that you haven't obeyed the gospel? You've heard the word. Real quick, but you've heard it tonight. Do you believe? You believe that God, that Christ is the Son of God, who was sent to the earth to live a perfect life, was crucified on the cross and raised again on the third day? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Upon that belief, are you willing to confess in front of these people that God is, that Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins? Maybe you've already done all that. maybe your thorn is a sin that's in your life today, and you need the prayers of the church. If either is the case, I believe the song number 283, turn 283, and if we can help you anyway, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.